Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Nisa M. Moyles is here. Nisa is a new friend. She's the author of Women Tech Founders on the Rise. Women Tech Founders are happening, she says. She's a securities attorney. She's an author. She's a columnist for a number of publications. She is one of the top women venture capitalists on the planet, and the good news is she's our new friend. Nisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. I'm proud for you and proud of you. So, Nisa, one of the things that we've talked quite a bit about on this show over the last 21 and a half years is I spent a lot of time talking with people like you, women in business who are women in business experts. You're not only a woman in business, but you advocate for women in business. And I have a lot of folks in my brain trust who fit that profile. And I'm happy to say that you're now one of our new ones. And so we talk about some of the issues that women have in the marketplace from the fundamental to the sophisticated, like what we're talking about today. And in your opinion, as you look out across the landscape and you look at where women are today, how do you see the opportunities for women in terms of where they've been? Do you see a lot of progress having been made? Do you think things are still bollocked up? What do you think?
I think there's been some progress, but I think we have a long way to go. There are certainly women starting businesses at a faster rate than any other demographic. However, they still receive only 2% of all venture funding, and that limits their capacity to scale. So I think that is one of the impetuses for writing this book, is that we don't want this to continue into future and future tech. So the book is called WTF is Happening, mm-hmm. Women Tech Founders. And, you know, you have to wonder why this undershot, undervalued asset class that over-delivers, and there's tons of data to support that, which I include in the book, is still being underfunded when there are people seeking alpha in places they're not looking there.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we want to differentiate from is women seeking investor capital and women seeking capital. Sometimes people get those two conflated, and, you know, women, access to capital for women through the financial system, through the banking system, is pretty darn good right now. We've been reporting on that for a long time. I mean, there are laws preventing women from being discriminated against in that area. So I do think it's important to differentiate between, say, a Main Street small business owner who's looking for capital than the people that I think you're talking about, which are technology or more the growth company, more the growth startup that plans to scale and not borrow money from a bank necessarily, but look for investor capital because everybody's planning on an exit strategy in 5 or 8 years. What do you think? Am I correct about that?
No, absolutely. Absolutely correct. Not every business should be a venture-backed business. It's a certain type of business that hopefully will scale quickly. But with these technologies scaling as quickly as they are and converging, that is the type of businesses that I invest in.
And those are the businesses, those are the profiles that are your 2% you're talking about. I want to make sure people leave this show after hearing us talk and saying women only get 2% of the money out there. It's we got to make sure we segregate the different activities. So one of the things that I've reported on over the last few years, not really all that long ago, Nisa, is other women have said to some of the big men venture capitalists, why aren't you loaning more to women? And that man said to this woman, because women aren't asking me for money. What do you think about that? Is there an issue there? Are women reticent to go after the money? Are they reticent to ask for enough money? What do you think?
No, I don't think that they are reticent. I think that that may be addressing an access problem.
Okay.
If you think about the venture capital business, it's based on pattern matching. It's based on funding other people in your network who you may have funded before, who are referring people. It's not public market.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying you can't find people to fund, you know, that's another reason I wrote the book, is that I highlighted 13 women who are doing exactly this. And there are many, many more out there. It's just whether you're finding them or you're not. And that has to do with your network.
Mm-hmm. So the women that are going for the money, a lot of times when we think of startups and the unicorns and the gazelles and the armadillos or whatever we're calling the growth startups, the scaling startups these days, when we think about that, most people immediately jump to tech. They immediately think it's somebody developing a new app or some, you know, two sorority brothers, you know, in their college dorm creating a new app or whatever. When we're talking about women at that level, what are they likely to be? Are they in tech? You point that out. Women tech founders are on the rise, or are they doing other things as well?
Yeah, I mean, as you just pointed out, you said people think of two fraternity brothers in their garage. Well, but they're not thinking of two sorority sisters in their garage.
Exactly.
Which
That's
could
right.
be the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. They're doing the same thing, but they're not getting the media attention on it. And so people don't necessarily know about them,
mm-hmm.
which is why we have to highlight them.
Right. Well, and so what are you doing to help them?
So I fund women. I write for Forbes, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I profile them. I wrote the book. And I'm talking about this a lot with lots of different people. I think that it's not going to change unless we have a macro reallocation of capital at the highest level.
I want to ask you how we're going to do that after the break. And by the way, I interviewed Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, the inventor of Spanx, when she was still in her apartment before it got off the ground too well. So she actually did what we talked about a minute ago. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.